good to see each one out this morning. The title of my message is, Can the Dead Speak? Can the Dead Speak? I don't know if you've ever wondered if it was possible to talk with somebody who has died and gone over to the other side. If you've ever contemplated that. In my own mind, there are those of my brothers and sisters, loved ones, friends that have died and have gone to heaven. We don't know what they know about what's going on here. Amen. We don't know. I don't know that the Bible really deals with that subject much. We could assume they know nothing. You know, we might assume that. It might be a correct assumption. They might know something. They might know. I don't know. Can we send messages to them? You know, we have an intercessor, Jesus Christ. He hears our prayers. And no doubt he communes with them. I've often contemplated and wondered if maybe we could send a message. Say, hey, thank you for the impact that you had for your life or for what you meant to me in a spiritual way. You know, tell so-and-so I'm doing okay. I don't know. You know, I've thought of that. I've thought of those things. Maybe even send a message or two, if that's a possibility. I don't know if it is possible. I just don't know. There are some things, however, we do know for sure. Now, it's interesting that people say they communicate with the dead, right? There are spiritists and mentalists and what's the word I'm looking for?
Psychics.
Mediums. Yeah, they're psychics. Both those terms are good ones. Psychics and mediums. In fact, there's people on television say they can communicate with the dead, right? Oh, I'm talking to your grandmother. She wants you to go to this drawer. She wants you to look in there, and you're going to find something. You know, oh, she says, don't feel bad about this or don't feel bad about that, right? You see those things on television. You know, I think it was on television. I saw something about Houdini. Houdini was a great magician, right? But he did not believe in mediums and so forth. In fact, he developed a friendship with this individual, they became very close, and this man's wife was supposedly a medium, and they held a seance, and after that, their friendship was over. It was totally in his mind, and I believe he was right. It was a farce. There was nothing there. It was just ridiculous. So even this man who was a great magician, he didn't believe in that kind of thing. But many people do. Brother Tasso, I get a kick out. You know, we've all had, as ministers, we may have had experience in doing funerals, and people act in a certain way. They say certain things at funerals, you know. I know he's here with us now. And maybe this is the atheist, you know, the one who doesn't believe in God. But now, all of a sudden, he's with us. He's in our presence. Really? Is he? Funny you should say that, you know. But I was going to say, Brother Tasso has the greatest. I've been involved in some different funeral services, but Tasso's got the best story ever. Ever. This is the all-time greatest story about what people do at funerals and how they act and so forth. All of a sudden, the people that are bad get so good and they've gone to heaven and they come to me, they're with me, they're in my, you know, the things that people believe, right? And they talk to the dead. You know, you even see people out at the graveyards here quite a bit. Some cultures, this is very, very prevalent, where they go to the tomb of their loved one. Maybe they carry on conversations, you know, with the dead. And there's probably some therapy. It's to some degree therapeutic to be able to express some thoughts, feelings of your own. But we know in reality that that person doesn't hear us. They're not there. There are movies and all kinds of horror films about people raising from the dead. Popular now, it's what the, I guess I'm not sure what a zombie is exactly. Is that really a person? Or is it just a body? I don't know. I'm not into the zombie thing. My coworker does give me a great compliment, though. He gives me a great compliment. He explained it to me, and at first it didn't sound like a compliment, but he gave me a compliment. He says, if he turns into a zombie, he wants to eat my brain. Now, in zombie talk, that means everything that's in my brain then goes to him. All my knowledge goes to him. So that's a compliment, see. There's been other shows where you have these people that supposedly talk to the dead, and they're always trying to resolve some earthly problem so that they can go to the light, because they're hanging out. You know, they're stuck between heaven and earth. You know, all this stuff is really, it's really not true. It's not based on truth. It's based on deception. But even God's people sometimes, I think, kind of dabble around in this kind of thing. And I would warn you, do not dabble around in the occult. Don't play with Ouija boards. Don't do those things. Don't do those things. Because there is a power there. There is a power there. We're going to look at 1 Samuel 28. There's this one instance in the Bible where somebody comes back from the dead. And so if you read this passage of Scripture, you might automatically jump to the conclusion and say, wow, here you go, Pastor. People can come back from the dead and talk to the living. Look, here it is. 1 Samuel 28. King Saul, he's in bad shape. You know, I believe that King Saul was a saved man. He was messed up. He was trying to kill David. He was doing all these things. He wasn't obeying God. But just look around in your life. If you've been a church member very long, just look around. There's plenty of church members that don't obey God and mess up and all those kind of things, right? Now, some may argue that he was a lost man. It's not a big issue. I'm not going to fall out with somebody over that. But I believe he was a saved man. And some of the scriptures that we're going to read today, I believe, indicate that pretty clearly. But we're not there yet. We're in 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium. Now this is interesting because Saul himself, as king of Israel, had banished all the spiritists and mediums from the land. So this was like against the law. But you know what? God wasn't talking to Saul. Not through the prophets, not in any way, not through dreams or visions. He wasn't talking to Saul anymore. You know what's more frightening than being convicted by God? Being convicted by His Spirit? Being made to realize that you're not right with God and His Spirit convicting you? You know what's more frightening than that? Is when God stops talking to you. So he's in a bad shape. He had sinned, he had disobeyed God, and God had taken his kingdom away from him. He's going to give it to David. He's already anointed David as king. So Saul is not in a good spiritual condition. So these very people that the very people that Saul has banished from the kingdom, he's now looking for one of them. Verse 7. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her, And his servant said to him, "In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes and went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, "Please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you." Huh. Sounds like stuff you hear now, right? A medium, a seance. King Saul's asking for a seance. He's going to a medium. He wants to bring someone up. He's got some questions. Then the woman said to him, "Look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die?" So this was obviously punishable by death. You were practicing these kinds of things. So the very law, the very rule, that the very edict that came from Saul to banish the mediums and spiritists, now he's involving himself in these things. Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." Then the woman saw Samuel. She cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." Now she realizes. You see, you don't want to know something? You know what I believe? I believe all the seances that this woman had conducted before, they were farces. They were fake. But now all of a sudden, Samuel appears and she screams. Why? Because she wasn't expecting that. This was out of the ordinary. This was out of the usual for her. She cries out, and she also realizes and understands that this man is Saul. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" The woman said, said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you that you may reveal to me what I should do." Then Samuel said, "So why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and had given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." We'll stop reading there. I mentioned that I believe Saul is a saved man. I believe Samuel was a saved man. No reason for us not to believe that Samuel was saved. He was a prophet of God, right? And I have no doubts about the salvation of Jonathan, David's very close friend, son of Saul. But notice what Samuel says here. He says, "You and your sons will be with me." I don't think Samuel was in hell. So that's one of the reasons I believe that Saul was a saved man. Saved but backslidden, saved but gone awry, living in the flesh and being disobedient to God, and we all have that capability. So the question is, This account in the scripture here, this account, was it the work of a medium? Was it the power of this medium, this woman? Or was it the power and action of God? I believe it was the power and action of God. And I believe that this was an isolated account. I think this is something that is out of the norm. Do you know that almost everything the Bible says as a general rule, God makes an exception to that rule? You've heard the scripture, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, after that, the judgment. But what about Lazarus? How many times did he die? Right? Others that were raised from the dead during the ministry of Jesus, they didn't ascend into heaven. They died again. So those are exceptions to the rule, and God does that. You know why? Because God is sovereign and God is omnipotent. And so when God decides to show us his omnipotence, show us his sovereignty, he does that. He does it on occasion. There are other times that we could look at in the scripture where God's general rule for things, he just bypasses that general rule. And I think this is one time in which that happens. This was not the work of a medium. This was not the work of a spiritist. This was the work of God. It wasn't just an occurrence that is common in the spirit world. This doesn't happen all the time. This doesn't happen on a regular basis. And God has the right to alter the normal way of things, as I've said. Now, through this event, God reminds Saul of his disobedience. He confronts him. You were disobedient to God. You didn't destroy the Amalekites. You didn't destroy the king of Amalek. He reminds him of his disobedience. He reminds him of the judgment that was made, how the kingdom would be taken away from him and given to another, David, his neighbor, it said. He reminds him of that judgment to come, and he tells him that he's going to die very soon in battle. Tomorrow. So God is using this to speak, this occasion, to speak to Saul. And certainly God speaking to Saul wasn't something that was out of the ordinary in terms of the way that God dealt with kings in the Old Testament, prophets in the Old Testament, holy men in the Old Testament. So the question, can we communicate with the dead, or can the dead communicate with us? Can we communicate? As I said, many people in the world believe they can, believe they do. But let's look at the scripture. What does the scripture say? In Luke, the 16th chapter, we have an account of the rich man. The rich man is in hell. He very urgently wants to speak to his brothers. Let's go to Luke 16, 19. It says here, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, being in torments in hell or Hades. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore that you would send him to my father's house, For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Now, we might look at that scripture and say, look, there's this idea that maybe Lazarus could go back and talk to them. Maybe it's talking about in a spirit form, you know, kind of like the Christmas carol when the spirits appear to Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Could appear and tell them, well, is that what's under consideration? Well, as we read on, notice what it says. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. The request was not for him to go back in some spirit form. The request was him to be raised from the dead so that he could speak to his brothers. So notice it says that those who were in hell and those who were in paradise, there was a great gulf fixed and there was no passing one way to the other. Nobody's getting out of hell, and nobody's getting out of paradise for that matter. Well, maybe Samuel on that one occasion, okay, right? Samuel on that one occasion. But otherwise, the general rule is there's no passing back and forth. There's no passing from hell to earth, coming back to speak. There's no passing from paradise to earth. There's no passing from paradise to hell or from hell to paradise. Once you die and you meet your spiritual destiny, that's where you stay. There's none of the spirits wafting around on the battlefields of the Civil War. You know, I know people might see stuff. We're going to talk about that. They might see stuff. And as I said, there are demonic powers at work in this world. So, can we communicate? No, cannot pass. There was no consideration of him going back in spirit form. In fact, there was a rejection even of the idea that he would be raised back from the dead to be a witness. You know, the Bible, the Word of God, this is the power of God. He uses it through the Spirit to convict men's hearts. It's powerful. It's more powerful than the resurrection of someone from the dead and their testimony. If they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they are not going to listen, even though one would rise from the dead. When he said Moses and the prophets, he's talking about the Old Testament scripture. Moses, the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses, and the prophetic books written by the prophets. Those are the powerful words of God to convict and convince men of their sin and the greatness and righteousness of God and their need of a Savior. So, there's no passing, no consideration that one would go back. So, no, we don't get to speak from to the dead. David, King David, you know, when he sinned and his child then got sick, and God took the life of that child. The child died, and he says in verse 23, but now he is dead, speaking of his son. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You're not going to get a visit from that baby, from that being, from that person that's passed. No, one day we'll go be with our friends. We'll be able to talk to our friends that know the Lord, that have been saved by God's grace. We're going to that place where they are, but they're not coming back here, not in spirit form, not until Christ returns with his saints. Then they will come back, but not until then. So I don't believe the Bible to teach that the dead have an option. You know, this is a little different thought, but they don't have this option of hanging around on the earth because they don't know where to go. Oh, I'm confused. I think I'm still alive, so I'm going to hang out on the earth. There's none of those. There's nobody hanging out on the earth in spirit form because they haven't gone to the light. Then you got the mentalist who has to tell them, it's okay now, go to the light. Really? Oh, what a bunch of silliness. No. You have no control over that. You have no control over that. When you die, you will wake up in eternity. Just like the rich man. When he died, he lifted up his eyes, he looked, and he was in hell. There was no consideration, no decision to make, no unresolved issue that kept him from going to his eternity. When we die, we will go to our eternity. But I do want to say, there are things going on in the spirit world. There are powers. There are demonic spirits. And I believe that demonic spirits impersonate people. I believe they deceive people. I believe they do use these spiritists, these mediums, these people who dabble around in the spirit world. I believe they're demonic spirits that are liars, because that's what Satan is and his demonic host. They are liars and they are deceivers. They're liars and deceivers. And what is it what they want to do? They want to confuse people about the afterlife. They want to make you believe that heaven and hell and that's all there is. They want to confuse your mind about that. They want to plant seeds of doubt in reference to the Word of God. That's what they do. That's what they're all about. So I believe that demonic spirits are real entities. They're a reality. They're real. We notice that in Jesus' ministry and the ministries of the apostles, they cast out demons. That's a reality. That's a real thing. There's demonic forces at work in this world. And I want to read in Deuteronomy, if you ever thought about going to get your palm read or something, because you're just confused about whether you should be dating this person or that person, or, you know, what financial investment you should make, and you're just not finding a clear answer in the Bible. Don't be like Saul. I'll run down to the medium. I'm just not getting the answer I feel like I need from God. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. These things are abominations to God. Okay, so, you know, sometimes we read our horoscope or we read our fortune cookie thing and laugh. And you know, I don't think anybody's too serious about those things. I hope not. But let's put it in the context. This kind of thinking, this kind of activity, where we're looking to the spirit world, this is an abomination to God. Not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire, human sacrifice is what that's talking about, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You know, one of the reasons God gave Israel the land? because he was bringing judgment on these sinners. So it wasn't just, oh, I love Israel, so they're so worthy, I'm going to just dispossess all these people. These people, judgment was coming upon them. And that's one reason they were specifically told to drive them out, make no alliances, make no marriages, but to drive them out. And they didn't do that. And it ended up hurting them in the long run. So we're not to have anything to do with these kinds of things. There is a power there, I believe. Power of deception, most of all. In the book of Acts 16, we read of an account there, and this is kind of to prove this point. The book of Acts 16:16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination. Now, this is a girl, as the scripture says, was possessed with a spirit possession, demonic possession. Met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And thus she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. So once Paul cast this spirit out of her, she no longer had this ability that she had before. So I believe the scriptures do teach us there are demonic forces at work in this world. There are demonic spirits that can possess people, that can give them, you know, when I see these things on television, and these people that are working with the police, and they have these visions, and they say, look by the water, look by here, look there, look. And many of those things come true. I'm not so sure there's not some force, some extra human power that is at work. I'm not so sure there's not. We see an account here of this slave girl possessed with a spirit, and her owners, her masters, were making a great deal of money because of this power that she had. So there must have been something there. Paul cast out the spirit. It was a spirit. It was a demonic spirit. So there is power. We're to stay away from that. We're not to have anything to do with that kind of power. It's demonic. Those seances and all that type of thing, it's of the devil. It's demonic. It's of the demonic spirit world, and we should stay as far as we can away from that. So, moving on in our thoughts. What if somebody could speak to us? You know, this is part of why I believe that these mediums and so forth that are speaking for the dead, one of the reasons I believe that they're charlatans is because they're talking about things that are just going on here on the earth. Oh, forgiveness, or oh, where to find something. Very trivial things. So if somebody could speak to us from the spirit realm, what would they talk about? What would be the thing that they would want to convey to you? What would they want to say? They wouldn't be saying, oh, you'll find Grandpa's watch in an envelope taped under a drawer. They wouldn't care a thing about that. They wouldn't care. They probably wouldn't even care if your relationship was repaired with them. Oh, I forgave you. That's of little consequence. What they would talk to you about, those speaking from paradise, would only want you to know the glories of heaven, the goodness of God, the greatness of his service, the greatness of his reward. They would want to tell you and convey to you the wonder, the blessing, the goodness, the glory of heaven. The goodness and the fact that every sacrifice for Jesus Christ, every moment that we live for him, was worth it all. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time with meaningless earthly things. There's a glorious heaven that awaits. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that's what they would be talking about. That's what they would want to tell you. And for those that were lost, they would say, trust in Jesus as your Savior. Heaven is so glorious. God is so good. In 1 Corinthians, we get a little bit of a glimpse of that. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 4. Well, I can see right away that that is not the correct verse. Let me check 2 Corinthians 12. Yeah, I believe that's it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talks about, and he kind of speaking in the third person, actually of himself, but he says, and I know such a man. He's talking about himself. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. I don't know exactly what that means, but I have a feeling it means there was things so glorious, so wonderful, so godly, so heavenly, that he couldn't even, it wouldn't be right for him to even try to express what he saw. I believe that heaven is glorious, it's wonderful. And those who would speak to us from beyond the grave would admonish us. Those who are in paradise would admonish us, if we don't know Christ, to accept his salvation and to live every minute we can for him. We certainly know exactly what the rich man would say. We know what he would want to convey. Again, it would have nothing to do with anything trivial that's going on here on earth. It would be all about not going to that horrible place, hell. That's the message he wanted to convey. Anyone that is in the afterlife who doesn't go to heaven, if they came and had the opportunity to speak, they would tell you, please, please, trust in Jesus as your Savior. This place is a place of torment. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of loneliness. It's a terrible, terrible place. It's a place where I'm so thirsty that just a drop of water on my tongue would be some relief, but there's no relief. The Bible describes it as a bottomless pit. It talks of the smoke of the torment who are there going up forever and ever. It describes it as a lake of fire, the final abode for those who will reject Jesus as their Savior. They might say something like, I don't know why I was so foolish not to listen, not to accept Christ. They might say something that would be akin to, why didn't you try harder to convince me and to make me understand that I need to be saved? But certainly they would say, don't make the same mistake that I made. Don't come to this terrible place. We know that would be the message of those in hell. Jesus came into this world, lived a perfect life, died on the cross of Calvary, rose from the dead to save us from our sins. God loved us to the point that He sent His Son to do this work so that we might be saved by God's grace, so we might escape the terrible place of hell. Don't go to hell. Trust in Christ. Let's stand. Let's have a verse of song. I hope that if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, that you're listening closely to my words this morning. I hope you're listening closely to my words. But think of this. If those in hell are aware of this service today, I believe they also are urging you, don't go, don't come to this place. Let's sing.